Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you so much, Dave. Oh, my. Right out of the chute, I got to say. Here's Daoud Saeed playing the intro music, right? He's back on Facebook. Don't tell anybody I told you that. He drifts in and out of Facebook like he's deciding, okay, this month I want to be a hermit, this week maybe not so much. So I see that his father has said to him on Facebook, he's only got a couple of friends now, make sure you stay connected. Right, Daoud? Keep that in mind. I'm so excited, can you tell? Oh, this is crazy. Didn't have a show on Tuesday because we wanted to accommodate Richard Elliott tomorrow. All right? Richard Elliott has a new CD out. Well, no, it's not out yet. I've got one of the first copies. The music is just incredible. It's coming out soon. He's on tour. Summer Horns, you know, in Florida. So we're going to talk to him tomorrow at 10 a.m. Just found out about 15 minutes ago that Jimmy Haslip is coming with us on July 15th. I'm a little excited. And so many more, I can't even tell you. And then, she said, Sam Rucker in the third hour of the show. It's crazy. Oh my gosh, wait to hear some of this music. It's going to make your summer pop. Beach is here. She's all ready to go. I'm all ready to go. Let's go back to 1959. So What by Miles Davis from Kind of Blue on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hyper Jazz. That little one scares me right there. Grace Kelly, all of 22 years old, playing the saxophone and singing like this dream. She just comes out of a dream. I cannot wait to hear all of Working for the Dreamers. She mentions that in the song that you just heard, I Want to Know. She is a composer. She produces. She sings, she plays the saxophone, and something else I did not know about Grace. Every time you turn a page or you see something on her Facebook profile or you go to her website, it's a learning experience. She's a trip. Now, first of all, the EP is coming soon. We just happen to have a couple of sneak preview tracks. She had this incredibly successful Kickstarter campaign, got all the money that she needed and then some for Working for the Dreamers. And then I found out through our friend Janice Little, gosh, why can't I always put her name together? Wait. Wait a minute. Hold on. There's so much in my head at this point. Janice Rochelle Littlejohn. Usually I don't forget, but you know what? You'll just have to forgive me because there is a absolute boatload of information in my brain right now. Janice Rochelle Littlejohn had this plastered on her page and on her But Can She Play documentary page. Grace is part of the documentary that is called The Sound of Redemption, the Frank Morgan story. If you don't know about Frank Morgan, he was the unspoken, I guess you could say, successor to one of the greats in jazz. You'll have to see the documentary. There's a lot of, can we just say, negatives about the life that Frank had led. And it's because of the fact that Frank lived in those times where segregation was an absolute way of life in America. And many of our African-American men and women, but there was more men involved in jazz. And we happened to notice it more in jazz because they were so high profile. There was drug use. A lot of men fled to other countries. And Frank was one of those beautifully talented individuals. When he was on it. And as it turns out, Grace Kelly was being mentored by Frank Morgan. I had no idea. He passed away in 2007. Now, this little one, I say little one, that's so insulting in a way, but you know I mean it. I love her. She's the same age as my son. She started out so early in life, so she got the attention of a lot of folks who were with us a while ago, and Frank Morgan was one of them. So, Grace, hats off to you, babe. That is some kind of. And she had her picture taken with folks who were also in the documentary, like Ron Carter. Here's Grace Kelly standing next to some legendary folks, feeling as comfortable as she can be. I love her. Val Lewis was the second song in that set, or as I am recently calling him, Velbert. That's his real name. He's a Philly guy. He won't mind that. This is something brand new. What you heard from the EP, which will actually, it's available now. If you go to Val Lewis and his website, you'll be able to pick it up if you would. Colors of Soul is what we heard. And this gentleman is more than a consummate keyboard player, Hammond organist, singer, composer, producer, arranger, plays the drums. This background on this man is so incredible. You're going to hear about it on July the 8th because Vel is coming here on Hybrid Jazz. Just give you a little sneak preview. This man is no stranger to Paul Simon or Stevie Wonder. Now, in Philadelphia at the time he was coming up, went to Overbrook High School, played with Jerry Brown, who's touring with Diana Ross. A lot of these cats relied on Vel for his keyboard expertise. He'll tell the story. Very exciting stuff. Miles Davis was at the top of the list there, Kind of Blue from 1959. Bill Evans, Jimmy Cobb, Paul Chambers, John Coltrane, Cannonball Adderley. So What, the name of that glorious 9.5-minute track. In later years, Shirley Horn, who had become good friends with Miles, said to him, this is 1990, Miles, why don't you go back and dig that stuff up from the 50s and early 60s? Because, you know, that softer stuff was so you. People want to hear that. He said, nah, hurts my lips. Once he was done with something, he was done. He was amazing. And as a matter of fact, Sam Rucker and I were corresponding during the time that Miles was playing, and he was listening to the song, and he said that Miles Davis was one of his inspirations as he was making his way in music. So this is going to be a delightful conversation during the third hour of Hybrid Jazz, because to hear Sam Rucker's influences, having been involved so heavily in hip-hop and gospel and jazz, and all the folks that he has toured with, all of that came together for Tell You Something. We'll hear three tracks. It'll be exciting. Something to do now. I always make it a promise to you. I try my best, and we'll have more in the days to come. I like to make this a global effort on the show, so you have a taste of different cultures and different interpretations of jazz. This is Stéphane Grappelli and the Diz Dizzley Trio from Violinspiration, circa 1975, but issued sometime in 2006. This is Sweet Lorraine, violin and guitar at its best on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz. Junior and Company, Can You Stand the Rain, from The One, 2012, for that particular song. And I am awash in saxophonists. I'm telling you, I'm running back and forth trying to get correspondence together because Richard Elliott apparently is running around like a chicken with his head cut off, and you just heard that's probably another message coming from the office. He is in Florida, and his staff has asked that if we could change from tomorrow to possibly Tuesday. So while Tony Exum Jr. is playing, I'm answering correspondence back and forth, typing letters. It's a good thing this show is not on Skype. Let's just say that, because you just don't want to see Mama Bear running from room to room making sure that plates are being juggled in the air. Yeah. By the way, speaking of New Edition, they are touring, if you didn't know this, and a lot of folks are real antsy to see what kind of chemistry is still there with the guys. And I know that they're coming to Baltimore and D.C. and Philly in just a matter of days. Tony Exum Jr. wants them to come to Colorado really badly. I'm not sure how that's working out for him, but we'll see. By the way, Tony, and I hesitate to say this because I might get a little emotional, but I don't think I will. Yesterday was the five-year anniversary of Michael Jackson's passing, and it will always be certainly indelible for me because my mom passed away in the same hour. So there was a lot of tributes everywhere on Facebook yesterday for Michael, and Tony, who was really feeling it, had lots of pictures and videos. So if you are a friend of his, or even if you are not, I think it's accessible to go to his page and see all that he did to remember Michael. It was really nice. Chiellini Minucci was that second song in the set with special effects, Blue Lagoon. One of those songs that sticks in your head. It's just so beautiful. He is at one with that guitar, is he not? Wonderful. From Genesis last year. Chiellini's got some tour dates with Tizer, and one of them is on a safari in Uganda in October. Will you please say a little prayer? That makes me nervous. That's one of those countries that's just a little shaky. I know everything will be all right. He's got Gerald Albright with him. Gerald can handle some business. I know that. But Lyle Tizer and Chiellini need a little supervision, I'm thinking. Maybe. Chiellini's got that Italian blood. He's a little scrapper. And speaking of which, if you go to his website and see the Ucci brothers, you kind of pause until you recognize that's Chiellini's family's way of a sense of humor pertaining to relative musicality. It's not the Ucci brothers that Angie's List sort of touts as being some of the best plumbers in the business. That's a different kind of Ucci brothers. U-C-C-I, it's Chiellini and his brother playing around town. So funny. Stéphane Grappelli and the Diz Dizzly Trio from Violinspiration, that started the set. One of those incredible artists that lived for a while on this earth, and he seemed to touch a lot of people. Stéphane passed away in 1997, had one of those childhoods you would not wish on anyone. How he rose out of that is just God. That's all there is to it. Woo! Mercy. And then he got together in his beautifully sweet life later on with Django Reinhardt, and they founded the Hot Club of France. So you know what kind of impact that made on the world. Just beautiful. Italian blood, born in France. Later on in life, he got together with a guitarist who studied Django Reinhardt, Diz Dizzly, and his trio, and they did that wonderful little rendition of Sweet Lorraine that you hopefully can find. Violinspiration's a little tricky, but you might be able to find it on another compilation. I'm going to say that I'm a little excited about Sam Rucker during the third hour of the show because he's one of these young cats, another one of these saxophonists that is really creating some buzz just because he understands the different sort of genre pulling to make his kind of music, And he's so inspirational. He insists on it. And that makes me feel really close to him, although we have never spoken. So it will be the first time during the last hour of the show. So stick around for that if you can and see what else transpires with the correspondence that we've got going back and forth on email. Alice Coltrane from 1970. Can we please? Whew. This is some kind of scary good CD. Pita the El Daoud, Blue Nile, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. I think we're not done with this song. Hold on. We still have more time. I think that Carenza comes back. I may be wrong about that. but there's still time that's sort of counting down. Hold on. Oh, I guess not. Okay. All right, then. I'm glad I was prepared. Karenza Gray is who we just heard there, and Bossa Lady from Bliss. 2012 was the year for that, and it is chock full of some delectable goodies. Really interesting. Karenza and I have known each other for a while. We've been friends for, I guess, gosh, going on 6-7 years now. Karenza is based in the area of Pennsylvania that makes it commutable, I guess you could say, to Hagerstown or coming into Baltimore or going to D.C. So she lives in this beautiful house with her husband and her pets, and had a chance to go there one summer, and it was absolutely lovely. We're talking about an ancient house. In the wintertime, she and Lee go to one part of the house so they don't have to heat all of it. It is crazy. So this particular album, the title was based on a wonderful place that we used to frequent in Harford County called Bliss. It was our favorite venue. The food was off the chain. The parking was free. You could find Bliss from anywhere in a 3 or 4 state area, and the music was jumping every week. But like so many clubs, like so many restaurants, it went by the wayside, and we were all so sorrowful about that. But Karenza decided to play a little homage to Bliss. That song there was called Bossa Lady. Now, here's the thing about Karenza I want you to know, besides the fact that she is the winner of the last Billie Holiday vocal competition that was held at Artscape each summer. They don't have that anymore, sadly. They don't have the Chick Webb competition anymore either, sadly. I haven't checked the roster of all the talent at Artscape, but I do believe that some of the folks who make the decisions about who gets to play there each year, they have now added more jazz because the outcry was ridiculous last year. We were hopping mad. The reason that folks went to Artscape was because of the jazz. Then they didn't have any because they thought it wasn't relevant. I'll pause there while you react. So all these folks who came out of state to see the Billie Holiday competition and the Chick Webb competition, I guess they didn't count. Anyway, I think that some jazz is back, so if that's the case, make sure you pat somebody on the back at Artscape. I digress. Karenza Gray is going to be on GHP Radio tonight with our friends Gary and Ray Mack and Griselda and the Soul Stringer, ghpradio.com. Also, know this, the Independent Artist Festival, that's Ray Mack's baby. If you go to itrackiaf.com, you'll find out a list of all of the online radio stations that play the kind of music that you might love. Not only this show, but a whole bunch of others, and sometimes they're 24 hours a day. You're going to find something that you like there. We want to make sure that we support one another, especially in light of the fact that some artists don't yet get it about wanting to be on an online radio station as a guest as opposed to terrestrial. Let me just ask you this, and then I'll go on. Can you count how many full-time jazz stations are on the air on terrestrial radio at this moment? Yeah, I didn't think so. Karenza Gray on ghpradio.com tonight. We heard, Patricia and Orlando Haddad, Minas, M-I-N-A-S. I wanted to say initially when I heard of this wonderful little collection of talent, Minas, but it's Minas. And what the song was that you heard was Borboletis, Borbolitas, Butterflies. Oh, my. It's just one of those days. but I'm enjoying every second. Patricia and Orlando in Rio is the name of the track, or the album, I should say, from 2006. Once again, if you are in the area, if you like to see some off-the-beaten-path kinds of acts, Germanos in Little Italy, the food is great, and you have to go upstairs to the cabaret. Whoa, it's just so intimate. Saw Jimmy Webb there. It was wonderful. Patricia and Orlando will be there on July the 11th, okay? We heard, too, Alice Coltrane, and I'm looking at the clock, less than an hour now, Sam Rucker. Alice Coltrane from Pita the El Daoud. Pita is the Egyptian god, which means the beloved. And Alice Coltrane was a deeply left-of-center spiritual person, affected John Coltrane deeply. Deeply. So this was from Alice's 1970 period, where she got real creative, making transitions from piano and harp. This was the first album by Alice to have horns. She had Pharoah Sanders on one side, on one channel, and then she had Joe Henderson on the other channel. She had Ben Reilly on here and Ron Carter. It was this wall of harp sound. It was just crazy, and there's not a lot of people who explored that since then. The rolling sound that she was able to create with that harp, crazy. Oh, gosh. Scary good stuff. Alice Coltrane, who passed away in 2007, and we still feel the leadership that she had in the way of being a band leader. It would be real interesting for somebody to follow in her footsteps. If you know anybody who does, will you let me know on Facebook? That would be wonderful. Yeah, always looking out for females who play instruments in a particular way. You know that. Kevin Toney will be at Bethesda Blues and Jazz coming up on the 26th, exactly a month from now, July 26th. David Bach is there tonight, by the way. Yeah. You want to see some great piano tonight or exactly a month from now. Since July the 4th in the States is coming up, I thought we would turn our attention to New American Suite by Kevin Toney from 2012. Beautiful stuff. Feast your ears, if you will, on this. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Even had some pain in this life. I built myself a whole lot of things. Some were big, some were small or large. Some of them I have a hard time trying to recall. Yeah.
looks like I'm going to have to pass out the cold compresses. Phew! That young. And right there, Ryan Shaw backing up Michael Langton. Oh, my God. If ever a title of an album delivered soul appeal, this song right here, if you just heard nothing else, that was it right there. Leave Me You is the name of that song. Isn't that something? Now, I found out all I needed to know about Ryan Shaw when I read recently. And mind you, I had met him several years ago. He actually came to WSMJ when the station was kicking. And we didn't know, the program director and I, also female, we did not know what to make of Ryan Shaw. Because we figured, all right, now, he's not really jazz. But then again, there's a lot of people who get play on a jazz endeavor who aren't really. But there was an extra degree of something going on in this beautiful young man. He's just 33. We were trying to figure it out, and Lori Lewis should know this. If you are raised deeply in the Pentecostal church and you get a force feeding, if you will, you might not like it initially, you might resent it as you grow older, but you come back to it if you have any brains at all. And Ryan Shaw did that. He learned everything he needed to learn in the gospel-infused environment where he was raised. Oh, it is good stuff. He has an album out. If you go to thisisryanshaw.com, you'll find out. Got to get myself together here. Michael Langton was on Hyper Jazz not that long ago. We had a good time. And saxophone, he's killing. But he also is an entrepreneur as far as cigars and wine are concerned. So he doesn't have to worry about too much. He's a very smart man. He is going to be, by the way, Beach in the chat room at the Long Beach Jazz Festival coming up on the 9th of August with, ready for this, Ramsey Lewis, Rochelle Farrell, Najee, and, wait for it, Tyrese. Oh, please let me know how that goes. That's interesting. Yeah? Yeah. So MichaelLangton.com is where to go. That's where you'll find his wine and cigars as well. Middle song there, Joshua Redman. It's a saxophone thing today. I'm doing this because Sam Rucker is coming up in less than 30 minutes. That's why. I'm just filled with saxophones. Mood Swing from 1994. The name of the tune is called Chill. You should know that Joshua is spending practically all his summer in France, Norway, Denmark. Tony Bunn should know this. He's heading back soon. Germany, Spain. Now, he's also the artist in residence at the Detroit Jazz Festival, so he'll be coming back in August for that. And then he's heading back to Europe. So good for you, Joshua. Such a fascinating family background if you ever get the chance. Learning about Dad, Dewey Redman, and about Joshua's mom from completely different sides of the story. And it made for one culturally embracing, beautifully, musically filled boy child who is now 45. So he is not a boy anymore, just a beautiful man. Woo! Don't get me started. Kevin Tony, that was the first song in the set. Pianist, composer, public speaker, he's doing that a lot more often. And now he's pushing Dominique, his daughter. Have you heard her? Oh, she's kicking. She's got Dad on her latest, I think it's her debut. And she's also got Ray Parker Jr., so she's in good company. And Kevin, not doing too bad either. Kevin's got New American Suite, which was out a couple of years ago. This was a project that was conceived along with Don Mizell. And if you do some research this weekend, you talk about an American success story just in time for the 4th of July so you can get all pumped up about living in the USA. Don Mizell is such an amazing character to research, to learn from. Among other things, he gave his 2005 Grammy to Swarthmore College. And apparently Swarthmore was really good to Don when he was going there because he was one of the first African Americans to go to the college, so they used Don to recruit other African Americans to come to the college. And they consulted with Don. They wanted to do all that they could so as to flesh out the landscape of who was coming to the school. And Don learned about culture in a way that he hadn't counted on learning. He learned that music was more than meets the eye. When you delved into the cultural influence of music, you were able to be healed in more direction than just one. So when he was behind the beautiful Genius Loves Company project with Ray Charles, he thought about Ray Charles in more than the ways that people appreciated Ray. He learned that Ray was so influential and inspirational, actually, at the ground level of rhythm and blues. What Ray was able to do with country music and bringing that to a wider audience by including orchestration. He really thought outside the box, and he got a Grammy for Genius Loves Company. Whew, man, so cool. So Kevin and Don have known each other for a long time, and we'll have to ask Kevin. Maybe we can get him on Hybrid Jazz before he comes to Bethesda Blues and Jazz, but just a fascinating association with people through the years. And Don just became friends with him on Facebook, and I'm really looking forward to talking to him too. Sam Rucker, that's another person that I anticipate greatly, and so do folks in the chat room. We're going to try to get to a few songs before we get to Sam. He's going to be coming up in less than now, 25 minutes. Yay! Got to play this. Promised her I would. Reagan Whiteside has a brand new CD coming out on the 8th of July. It's called Quantum Drive. This is some kind of cool music. I was happy to get the one of the initial albums, and the first single pulled from it is something that Patrice Rushen co-wrote. And she is actually on here, as well as Bob Baldwin. And on the album collectively, Althea Renee, Frank McComb, Reagan on that flute. She's going to be on the show, by the way, let's see, sometime in July. We're going to have to look at the calendar. I'll let you know. So exciting. Woo! Love to have Reagan. She has so much positive energy, and so does this song called Remind Me from the forthcoming Quantum Drive CD on Hybrid Jazz.
only she can, and it's made me a believer that a life without her would be hard to endure and quite pointless for me. That's the way it would be if one day I guess you could say it's the reason I adore her. And that beacon of light, making everything bright, turning wrong into right, with the wave of her hand. If one day
together so well. Oh my gosh, if you get a chance to see Andrew New and Bobby Caldwell do their thing together, it's just a beautiful kind of symmetry or chemistry or whatever you want to call it, because having had Bobby here on Hyper Jazz and getting him to talk about Andrew, he just loves the idea that Andrew just takes it and rolls with it. Andrew, for being so young, and I'm not even sure how old Andrew is, but he gives me the impression of being so young. He's just so adept. Whenever I see Andrew, either with Bobby or without, he's always full of surprises. He's one of those great, confident saxophonists, like Sam Rucker is coming up. I can't wait. But when they get together and they do a song so that both of them can shine, and this is from Andrew New's Everything Happens for a Reason, What Would I Do? Bobby had one track on the CD, and it's just so authentic. It just rings like the truth, like what some of us used to hear back in the late 50s, early 60s. Oh, if Bobby heard me say that, he'd like it. Andrew would, too. If you go on Facebook and see what Andrew is doing, he's touring with one of his big bands. He's in Italy right now, enjoying a gelato or two, enjoying the scenery and the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Beautiful pictures. If you have a chance, go look. Again, that's from Andrew's last year's CD, Everything Happens for a Reason. We heard two from Reagan Whiteside, woohoo, from the forthcoming CD, Quantum Drive. It's coming out on the 8th. Reagan will be with us on the 10th of July, so be mindful of that. The song you heard was Remind Me with Patrice Rushen. And again, helping out on the entire CD, Reagan's good friend for such a long time and mentor, Bob Baldwin, has made it a point to understand early on how much talent Reagan Whiteside had. So he's there with her. Also, Frank McComb. And it's just one track after another that makes you go, really? It's just that cool. So we'll have at least three of those tracks when Reagan joins us. Thought we'd have a time for a couple more, and I wanted to get this in just cause. It's got that summertime vibe with this particular song. This is going back to 1969 now. If you are familiar with the tremendously successful stage presentation of Hair, you might recognize this song. What Quincy Jones was able to do in the way of twisting arms, all of these jazz cats he had come to know, like Freddie Hubbard and Ray Brown, Grady Tate, Roland Kirk, it goes on, Hubert Laws, and Valerie Simpson. Young Valerie steps up to the plate on this from Hair, and also the title track of something that Quincy put together that was pretty monumental in the late 60s. Walking in Space on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Sam Rucker is coming up next. Woohoo! is Hybrid Jazz. Now, there's a sax man who knows his way around the block, doesn't he? Woo! That is good stuff right there. Just had to do it. Just had to play something that was totally old school, but considered so contemporary for its time back in 1969. Quincy Jones and Company, Walking in Space. And then play Sam Rucker, who's got one foot in old school, one foot in new, and he brings it back and forth in this delicious mix. That was Be True to Who You Are, and he means it. Saxophonist, actually multi-instrumentalist if you're going to brag on somebody, and that's what I'm doing. Producer, composer, been around for a while. Thanks to my friend Rick Scott, he got this together today. Please make welcome Sam Rucker. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Trish. How are you?
I've never heard your voice before, and already I feel good. I feel good.
Oh,
how are you?
Well, yeah. Let me make sure I put on the good voice then. How are you doing there, Trish?
Oh, see, now you got to stop right away. I'm real good. I'm actually a lot better because I made it a point to listen for like the third or fourth time to tell you something this morning. So I'm pumped. It feels like the morning, even though it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's how fresh I feel from hearing all those grooves. Sam, this is good stuff. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I really appreciate that. That's great. Glad that you are enjoying it.
Yeah, and look, I mean, there's so much to say about you. First of all, how did you get Huge Groove to mix and master this? You didn't even have to twist his arm, did you?
Man, you know, that is really a testament to the kind of person that he is, you know.
Yeah.
Because he sort of offered to, he did offer his services to me and offered to help me and has helped me out tremendously. He absolutely put the icing on the cake. And, you know, a lot of people don't, especially at his level, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, don't necessarily take the time to reach back and help somebody that's trying to get there. And, you know, that I can't take any credit for that. You know, that's really all the kind of just down-to-earth, you know, cool cat that he is. And he is amazing when it comes to the studio and production and mixing. And he's just, I mean, obviously, right? You know, he's Groove. You know, look at the success that he's had. He's absolutely great at what he does and is talented far beyond the saxophone, you know.
Well, the fact of the matter is some of us know a little bit more about Huge Groove than other people do because, you know, he was born and raised in Hagerstown, Maryland, so that's where I am. And
that's right.
We know some of the same people. Lest anybody think that Huge Groove is just another vanilla saxophonist who made his way. Listen, he's got so much soul.
Yes.
He really does. Oh, my
he really
God.
Does.
He's
really
got
does.
This groove down. And see, he related to you immediately because he really loves to help. He does.
Yeah. 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 And he just, you know, we connected very quickly, you know. And, the guy is full of soul, man. Full of soul. Pleasure to work with. And I can't thank him enough for the help that he had contributed. Him as well as many others. You know, the album is a good album. But we've got, you know, I have to thank everybody that contributed, you know, to put it together. And so, you know, I'm sure we're going to talk about some of those people. So I won't, you know, I won't throw them out there just yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? First things first, I love the fact that you call Virginia Beach home. That means you're right down the street. You're right down the road.
That's right. That's right. We could have done this in person, Trish. That's what we should have done.
Oh,
right?
You know what? That's going to happen one of these days. That's going to happen, and it's just going to be a whole new – folks have tried to twist my arm into doing this via TV. Don't want to do that, Sam, because there's a whole lot of mystery that gets lost. People have this immediate gratification vibe, and that doesn't suit as far as music is concerned because the main component of this show is to make sure people hear the music, and sometimes visuals get in the way. They're distracted.
They get in the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what you're trying to say, Trish, is that the music should tell you something.
Hey, that's
How
what
about
I'm
that?
Trying to say.
How about that? You like that? Yeah. The music should tell you something. It
you know
should
what?
Speak for itself.
Feel free to use that, Sam. Well, now, how on earth, I mean, it's not like it's going to be any situation where you have to really think about it from point A to point B, but what does one do when you're growing up in Virginia Beach? Were there a lot of outlets for you to play? How did you first get interested?
Really, the way that I got interested, I joined the band in sixth grade when they had all the kids who were interested in band go into a room with the instruments, and they said, okay, just try them out and pick one. And the saxophone was the only thing I picked up that made a noise. That's how I did it. And then here's the thing. So sixth grade band. I wound up having to drop out because I flunked the test on Mary Had a Little Lamb. I just couldn't play it. It was just way too hard. Way too hard. Couldn't get it down. So,
my God.
I dropped out the band, but my father had leased the saxophone for me, and it had a year contract on it. And my pop was like, listen, you know, you may quit the band, but we got this horn for a year, so go take private lessons. He put me in private lessons with a guy named Nick Anise, and that was an absolute life changer. It was a life changer. Over the next few years, you know, it just, it's almost a blur. It just became a part of me, you know. By the time I got to high school, you know, I knew that I wanted to, you know, at least do it in part, you know, for the rest of my life. You know, I got hooked, you know. That in combination with all of the music that I heard growing up, because my parents were big music fans and my uncle. So, you know, I grew up, you know, at a time when hip-hop was, you know, really, really big and developing. So I grew up on, you know, Run DMC and, you know, LL Cool J. But at the same time, my dad's listening to Grover Washington and David Sanborn and Miles Davis. And my uncle's giving me Jackie McLean records and Sonny Stitt records and Cannonball Adderley records, and all of that stuff just kind of, you know, blended together. And when it came time for me to start making music, it's just what comes out. There you have the style right there.
And you know what's interesting about you, Sam, and I've listened to Tell You Something a few times now, you know, I'll just be candid with you. There are some artists, gosh, there's a whole lot of people playing these days, and I always like to listen to folks, men or women, who know their way around a sax and what the goal is. You know, can I hear a goal? Can I figure out where they're going when they do a piece? And with you, there is such a hybrid, if you will, thank you very much, about blending genres, but you do it in such a way that you always surprise people with the next turn that you're going to do in a song. You don't necessarily see what's coming. Your music is never predictable. How's that? I love that.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I love that too. That's great. That's a big compliment, you know. And the truth is that there's no calculation, you know. All my music is very, I like to call it organic. Because it's just what comes out. Like I never intend to write a piece a particular way or, you know, to fit any particular style or genre. You know, I just do what I do, and whether I'm writing it for a rapper, a singer, a spoken word artist, or myself, or what, it's all the same. I do the same thing every time, and you know, fortunately, people like it.
Well, and here's a big reason why they like it, because you have said this. You have made it a point to point out to people that you have had a hip-hop production background, and you have pointed out that you really do appreciate jazz. And you also point out, and this is the big thing, that your aim is to inspire. You want to get that positive foundation for a tune so that people can not only hear it, but feel it. I love that.
Yeah. So the music is definitely felt. And then also, you know, I believe music, you know, it is just for entertainment at times, but I think ultimately you should take something away from it, right? So, you know, the listener should, you know, go away, you know, feeling something. And perhaps even receiving a message. It's even better, you know, to the next level when you can, you know, present a message to someone. We can communicate to the listener something. And, you know, I think music communicates either way. And for me, you know, it certainly is my intent to communicate positivity and encouragement and inspiration into people's lives, because, you know, then you go away feeling good. And I think that's, you know, definitely an important thing.
Oh, especially these days, because, you know, my son is 22, and like a lot of people his age, he goes through these waves of figuring out with all of what is around him, with all of the temptations, if you will, all of the choices that he has, who is he? So when I hear a song that you do called Be True to Who You Are, that speaks to folks who are varying ages, but you're doing more than your share to bring young people into the fold. So thank you for that.
And Be True to Who You Are is really about me accepting my musical style, because, you know, as a saxophonist, you know, particularly if you're going to, you know, try to get into the smooth jazz genre, which is where, you know, most of us are grouped. You know, there's traditionally over the years been a certain style and a certain, you know, way, and my music is, it doesn't necessarily fit that. And so for a long time, I felt like, you know, well, my stuff doesn't sound like, you know, other people's stuff, and, you know, I'm not sure about it. Maybe I need to try to be like somebody else. And, you know, eventually I just came to the point where I just got to be true to who I am and just let it come out like it comes out. Because ultimately that's what gives the satisfaction, and that's what connects with the listener, you know, that genuine, you know, message that is conveyed through the music when it's pure like that. So be true to who you are is all about, you know, whatever it is that you do, you know, whatever it is that is the essence of you, do that and be proud of what it is that you have, because I believe everybody has something unique to present to the world.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're preaching to the choir. We've had these discussions so many times. But, look, it's the equivalent of this. Sometimes in relationships, especially romantic relationships, and even just platonic friendships, you come across somebody that you want to impress. And it has happened once or twice in many people's lives, including mine, where you are so impressed by someone that you find yourself dumbing yourself down in order to please them.
Yeah.
And you can't do that, Sam, because you know too much and you've got too much music inside of you, so all of it has to come out. So please, always adhere to that code.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Phew! Because otherwise, let me tell you something. Norman Connors and Bobby Lyle ain't going to be gravitating to you.
That's right. That is right. Those guys
Man.
Are amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And
how did that happen, that you would meet both of those esteemed gentlemen?
Well, it all started with Norman. So Norman's current music director is bass player. His name is Mike Ely. And Mike is a friend of mine. And so a few years ago, you know, Mike had an opportunity to play with Norman when he came to Virginia, and, you know, they decided that they needed a sax player, and I'm thinking maybe Mike kind of talked him into it a little bit. But Mike got me in on the show, and so I was able to do, you know, a concert with Norman when he came here, and you know, the show went really well, and, you know, just like, you know, with the album Tell You Something, you know, I'm really big on trying to communicate and connect with people. That's the same way I am live, especially. I really want to connect with the audience and with the other musicians on the stage. And so, you know, Norman really enjoyed that, and he thought that I did well. And so after the show, I had actually just finished my first CD, Heat from the Heavens. And, I mean, it was literally like maybe 2 weeks after it was done and released. And, you know, I gave it to Norman and told him I wanted, you know, I basically asked him if he would be willing to help me. And Norman is one of those people that is all about, I mean, he's a producer at heart. So he loves to take people that he thinks has talent and help them and produce them and get them where they need to be. And so he was all over it. Open arms, and he invited me to sit in with the Starship Orchestra a couple times, and eventually, you know, I wound up being a member of the Starship Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so Norman, great producer, legendary. It's awesome to hang with somebody that has such wisdom and such experience with them, because you can just learn so many things, and I absolutely learned a lot. And one thing I learned from Norman is, first of all, he's Norman Connors, and he knows everybody. And
he does.
He knows everybody, right? And so he's really, really good at knowing how to choose the right people to do the right things. And so Bobby came through Norman. And, I mean, that was absolutely the right selection. I mean, Bobby Lyle just nailed it. And he's a phenomenal musician. Phenomenal.
Oh, my God, yes. Mm. Yes. And Allison Williams, I mean,
yep.
and Tom Brown you have here.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah.
You had some real, I mean, look, the bottom line is, Sam, that no matter who the artist is, if they are known at all, they don't want to fritter away their time with someone that they consider to be, for lack of a better word, not equally yoked with them.
Right, yeah.
So for them to say, yeah, we're on board, you have a lot of belief in you. The buzz is so strong about you. You must feel that, right? You must feel it.
Oh, man. Well, I appreciate it. I receive it. I definitely
Good.
Receive it. And, I mean, I'm just blessed. You know, you know what it is. It's just like number 12 on my album. You know, that album version to tell you something. You know,
yes.
the message there is just that the Lord has been good to me, and that's really the bottom line, you know.
I love what All About Jazz said about you, and, you know, being a person who believes so strongly in church and feeling deeply spiritual as opposed to religious, All About Jazz says that what you do is give sax sermons. I love that.
Yeah.
Yes,
sex
that
sermon.
Is what you do.
Hey, it's all about communicating. I love it.
Yes.
That's it. That is it.
Oh, my
that
gosh. And you do that so much. And I have picked out some songs here, and we had a little bit of communication while the show was going on just to make sure that we got a time situation cleared.
Mm-hmm.
I have some favorites, of course, on the CD, Tell You Something, and
okay.
I really love the extended mix, but that's 8 minutes, so I thought I was going to play that like next week or so just to make sure it pops. But, you know, of course I want to delve into Footsteps in the Dark in a little
yes.
bit. I really do, yes.
Yes, okay.
But one of them that hit me, and I know when you're energized, there are energized tracks on here. There are songs that have a particular kind of vibe. And then there are those songs that, and it's not because I'm a woman that it appeals to me, but I'm just so curious because the intention or the vibe was different a little bit for me on Love's Melody.
Oh, okay.
That is something that spoke to me.
Oh, good.
Yes. So
good.
you wanna say a little bit about that, because I'm real intent on your compositions here. You've
yes.
got three songs that have stood the test of time for sure. But your compositions to me are intriguing, and this one
yes.
at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, Love's Melody. So Love's Melody obviously is the ballad, and it comes from a place of, from sort of an emotional place, right? And so if you think about this, Trish, you know, what is Love's Melody? Well, love has a lot of different melodies, you know.
Yeah.
Love can be happy, love can be joyful, love can be sad and bad. It's like it's the people that you love the most that can make you the most angry and cause you the most hurt.
Oh.
And so you wind up with this like two extremes when it comes to love, you know. And you know, Love's Melody kind of comes from that place of, you know, it's the bottom line with it is that it's passionate, you know, because when it's real good, it's passionate. When it's real bad, it's passionate. And the reason that you feel the way you feel about it, about love, that is, and the reason it affects us so much is because of the passion that's attached to it. And so that's kind of the place that Love's Melody comes from.
And, you know, I find myself when I've been hearing it, and I'm going to play it in a second, but when I've heard it, I want to put in parentheses next to it, no conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, no conditions. You know, pure love has no conditions, right?
Oh, endlessly organic.
That's right, yeah, that's right.
Yes. It
yeah.
just is one of those songs that everybody's got a chemical reaction. Listening to music is much like falling in love. You can't predetermine who you're going to fall in love with. that would just ruin it for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when you hear a song that you have a connection with, you take that almost as an anthem unto you, and it never leaves you.
Yeah.
So that,
and the thing,
yeah.
Yeah. And the thing I really love about jazz and instrumental music in general is that, you know, is that the listener can really interpret for themselves. Like the song can fall on whatever ground within you that is fertile at the time, if you will, you know?
Yeah.
So the way you receive it, you know, can be entirely different from the way somebody else receives it, but the impact can be the same, and the communication and the connection is made in both cases. And that's one of the things I really love about instrumental music and about communicating in that fashion.
See, you have to understand that Sam, a lot of people don't think that through. A lot of folks play their music by rote, and they don't necessarily think of the impact of what they're communicating in the way of instrumental music. You know, there are some people who believe that instrumental music is not as powerful as vocal, but I think just the opposite. Because
mm-hmm.
if you have the instrumentation, it can be anybody's song.
Yeah, yeah. It can take you anywhere, right?
Yeah.
It can take you any direction. You know, and definitely that's one of the things that I love about it.
And you would appreciate even more if you are standing on a stage that maybe is somewhere in the UK, and you've got people in the audience who are from Senegal, who are from Paris, some people are from Bosnia, wherever.
That's right.
Everybody speaks a different language, but isn't it interesting that when you get to a certain place in a song, everybody's crying, but they're all crying for varying personal reasons.
That's right. That is absolutely right. Yep.
Beautiful thing.
Yes. Mm. Yes, it is. And Love's Melody is definitely that type of song. Definitely that type of song where it can come, you know, it could touch, you know, really multiple places in you. And as a musician and writer, you know, performing it, you know, it can come from different places in me, you know, depending on where I am, you know, but depending on what's going on in me, it can come from a place of, you know, bliss and happiness, or, you know, perhaps sexiness, or it can just come from a place of, it could come from a place of hurt. You know, it could do either or. And so I think it's very powerful in that sense.
Yeah, yeah. I could see people comparing notes. Did you see Sam last week? Yeah. I love that song, Love's Melody. Man, it was just so gentle. Gentle? He kicked butt on that stage when I saw him. Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to play the album version. The new CD is Tell You Something. This is Love's Melody from our guest Sam Rucker on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now we can definitely see why you brought the house down at the Apollo Theater. Those ladies in the audience must have gone insane.
Oh, my gosh. That was one of the most nerve-wracking things I had ever done.
I'll bet. I'll bet. Oh, my God. How did that come to be? Holy cow. What a thrill, huh?
Yeah, big time thrill, man. And that was, you know, I had won like a series of contests in the area where they, you know, had some talent shows, and the ultimate prize was to be able to go to the, you know, to the Apollo and perform in the competition there. Mm. And so, you know, I was fortunate to make it through and win and got sent up there. And I'll tell you the truth, you know, the first night especially, I had just like written the song. Yes, I performed original music the whole time. And,
woo!
And I had just written the song like the day before, didn't have a name for it. I really didn't have an idea how I was going to play on it and so forth. I kind of just went just raw from the gut, and it went over great. So, like, I won the first two times and came in second place the third time. And it was just an amazing experience, incredibly nerve-wracking because people get snatched off the stage left and right.
Yes.
At any moment, you know. But,
man, if you do not bring it, they do not waste time.
Man, I'm telling you, they don't play. They don't play at all. And look, it was kids and old people. Everybody was getting snatched. I mean, they just didn't care.
No.
You know, it was pretty intense, but it was definitely a great experience. You know, such history there, and you can just feel the history
yeah.
in
yeah.
the place. And it was definitely a memorable moment, you know, sort of like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, man. Great experience.
Well, for those of us who are old schoolers, we remember way back when the Apollo had some of these legendary geniuses coming mm-hmm. on that stage, and, you know, you're feeling like you're standing on hallowed ground.
Mm, yeah,
because,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, the best of the best stood there. So a lot of those folks, there are a lot of young people in the audience, but there's lots of oldsters too, and they have seen the best. So,
yeah.
you know, it's really, this is so awful to say this, but for all the folks whose mamas and daddies told them they were great and they're not, the truth comes to pass on that stage.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does, man.
Oh,
and you know, but yeah, I was just blessed. I mean, I'm grateful for it. I mean, I thought that there were people there who were, you know, much more talented than me. And you know how the Apollo was. You know, usually it's a singer that's going to win. So, you know, there was lots of really talented singers, and there was even other instrumentalists there. And, you know, for me to win, you know, doing original music, playing a sax at the Apollo, I mean, it was, and that was just nothing but
yeah.
a blessing right there. Nothing but a blessing.
That's a big deal. Yeah. So by the time you got there, how much was under your belt as far as experience? I mean, was it just how old
no,
were you at the
zero.
Time?
Zero. No, that was zero experience. That was that's zero. Absolutely zero. That was like the first thing I ever did, you know.
Oh, my God. You were
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Absolutely.
Man, you didn't even have a chance to be organic yet.
Yeah, right, you know. But it was very organic, though. You know, it was very organic because, you know, if you listen to those songs that I played then, it's really the same stuff I'm doing now, you know, same type of hip-hop, you know, rhythms and vibes and everything. It was good. But, I mean, it might have been good that I was at that stage in my career because you have no expectations at that point, you know. So I mean, it was good.
Well, you know, one of my the folks for a period of time when Air America Radio was on, I was listening to Chuck D every day. So, Chuck D back in the day was one type of artist, and then he became a radio artist. So, wow. you know, you were involved in hip hop, but you were a thinking person. person involved in hip-hop, and more than that, you were a person who was conscious of the spiritual nature of music. So
yes.
When you were working with different artists in that world and in gospel, how was it? Was it like a lot of cultural collisions there for you, Sam? That must have been a real trippy experience to go from one to another effortlessly, because I'm going to assume, because of the way you are and the way you play, a lot of people wanted you to play with them. So
I had to say, you know, believe it or not, it was nothing. You know, it's nothing, because I've always done it the same way. You know, like ever since I started writing music, you know, I write the same style. Like, I just write what comes out, and it's been more a situation where, you know, this gospel singer or gospel rapper heard the tracks that I do, and they liked them and wanted to use it. You know, and they wanted me to work with them. And then this, you know, the next person, the next singer, secular rapper or the spoken word artist, they hear, you know, they really hear, like, and it could even be the same songs, the same tracks. And they would like it too and want to use it. And, you know, it's, and then for me, myself, you know, I'm writing my music, and I'm hearing my horn melody and my horn lines on it. So there really has not been any, you know, any significant intent to fit in a certain space or make transitions from one to the other, because, you know, if you listen to, you know, the rap records that I did, you know, they're very melodic, you know, very melodic and very, you know, sort of stand out in that genre as well. So, you know, the transitions was never really an issue, because I've always just stayed true to who I am and done it the way I do it, because there's no other way for me to do it. That's the revelation that I had. That was another drop from the album there, song called No Other Way on the album.
Yes.
The one thing that I will say, though, is that the only issue I had or struggled with was not being able to play the horn and focus the horn. You know, because when you get into producing other people and doing some of these other things in music, you know, you're not going to be able to spend the time on other things. And so I always wanted to get back to my first love, which was playing the horn. And you know, and using it. And so that's really the only thing, is that, you know, while I was doing rap, you know, musically, I was writing the same way, but I was wanting to get back to playing the horn. And, you know, and that was about it. So, you know, there's really been no calculation with it. It's always been organic and just, you know, kind of just me.
Now, I see from what you have said here, organic has a deeper meaning than the usual, because it's becoming, and I know I've incorporated into my vocabulary too, and it means a certain kind of thing. But from what you've just said, and this is real intriguing, so maybe it's a situation where you, as the artist, Sam Rucker, has never really had to prove himself to any artist, because the word of mouth on you has been pretty strong, so that either somebody else said, "Have you heard Sam Rucker?" or somebody has heard you with your music and has said, "Come work with me." Is that the truth?
I guess you could say that, you know.
That is a blessing.
It is a blessing. It's definitely a blessing, you know. And I think it's too, like, even just like in my instrumental tracks, you know, I try to hit a mark, you know, to hit a mark where, in the listener, where when you hear it, you feel something. I always want you to feel something and take something away. And I think that's attractive to other artists, no matter what they do, you know. And so, you know, when they listen to, you know, maybe my catalog, then they, you know, they might find something that connects with them and want to use it. And so I think, you know, that's really been the situation.
Wow. I'm really glad to hear about this particular journey. It's hitting me a little different than when I usually talk to artists, because you're so sure about what you do, and you're so inclined to believe the best in everyone that I'm thinking that even with the different kind of egos that you must have encountered along the way, it has rolled off your back, because your mission, your intention was to make sure the music fit the artist, so anything else didn't get in the way.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think ultimately, you know, like I said, you know, there were times when I, you know, because you get a lot of no's in this business, you know, when you're, you know, when you're trying to start out and get things going, you get plenty of no's. But I think over the years, you know, I have thought about, well, maybe I should try to do it differently. But it ultimately comes back to, that doesn't sit right within me, you know, that doesn't feel right to me. And so it ultimately goes back to being true to who I am. And this song on the album, No Other Way, is literally that is the, you know, the message behind that song is that, listen, I'm going to do it the way that I do it because there's no other way for me to do it. And I'm just, that's just what I'm doing.
Yeah, and look, just looking at the titles here, I mean, it's got to be a scenario where even if folks know about you a little bit, they know that you want to convey encouragement and hope and a dedication to remaining true to who you are. No Other Way, Brighter Day, be
yeah.
true to who you are. A Million Ways, which conjures up for me, man, you know what? There's not just one maybe right way. There's a million ways to find my way to me. So It's just the overall feel of who Sam Rucker is just we need it so desperately in the music world right now, Sam. Can I tell you? You know.
Man, wow. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that, but I'm just a fan. You know, I'm a fan anyway. I like, you know, I'm a fan of anybody playing saxophone, definitely. And then,
yeah?
You know, I just love, you know, I love music. I love all different kinds of music, and you know, I'm just a fan who happens to be able to make a couple of songs, you know, and in my eyes, so.
But
you know,
you also love to be in front of an audience because you really do love that, to make that connection. So this is what your intention is now, right, as opposed to working with others. You want to focus on Sam Rucker now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think that, definitely, to reach the goal, that I think you have to come to a place where you focus on one facet, you know, because music is broad. And you know, you do have to focus on one thing, but, you know, I feel like for me, that is definitely what it is, you know, performing and making music and making that connection with people from the stage is absolutely something that I just love to do. I love to do it.
Well,
I make sure that you leave the concert feeling different than you did when you came. You know,
you're definitely
gonna leave something. You leave with something, you know, and you know, I love it when I'm able to accomplish that. That's it. If I can just connect with one person out there, that's good enough.
Bless your heart. It's just good to be able to talk to you and feel the truth of what you're saying, because you know sometimes. Honestly, artists want to convey that, but they don't know how. But you believe it, and you know how to convey it because it's of utmost interest to you. And that's what sets you apart from a lot of people. So it really brings the ring of truth to your music.
Oh, man, definitely. That is very well said. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thank you. Oh, my gosh. And as I suspected, The hour is flying by, and I know that we have a six-minute track here. So you tell me, Sam, I mean, I want to be able to say your first CD, and you mentioned it, Heat from the Heavens, and you've got Tell Me, Tell You Something, which is going so well. It's going so well, isn't it? Oh,
yes.
My God.
Yeah, very, very pleased with it so far.
And you've got some ace people on your team who are pushing you, and
Absolutely.
Let's make sure we get them those names out there.
Absolutely, yes, yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, on the album, you know, I've got, you know, Norman Connors and Bobby Lau, Tom Brown, Allison Williams, Huge Groove worked with me on it, and, you know, I've got the best best publicists and radio promoters in the business, Rick Scott and Jason Goral. I got the
yes.
best manager in the business, too, Tyron Sr., you know, she's absolutely doing a great job. And, you know, it really takes a team of people, and I absolutely have a great team. And then there's great people like Trish Hennessy that just, you know, that just brighten your day. And
God, that check is going to be in the mail as soon as we stop talking. Well, look, you know, here's Sam Rucker, who has worked with some folks that we need to mention along the way, Howard Hewitt and Eric yeah. Benet and Will Downing and Norman Brown. It goes on and on. So you are one of those folks in the business, and I want to say this the most articulate way I can, when there are people that are in front of you, and for me it's different, Sam, because I get to do this show, and that's a blessing too. But mm-hmm. when there are folks from different corners in jazz who are all saying the same thing about you, I have to pay attention.
Oh, wow. That's great. That is absolutely
yeah.
great. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And this is very cool. We're talking about the straight-ahead cats, and we're talking about the most contemporary of contemporary cats.
Yeah,
so,
and I love it all. I'm a fan of it all, man. I listen
yes.
to a lot of straight-ahead jazz. You played Joshua Redman earlier. He's one of my absolute favorites.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. See, that's why, you know, with the intro for you, you have one foot in the old and one foot in the new, which makes it so intriguing, because
yeah.
You're not going to settle for anything less than
yeah.
being true to who you are.
There you go. And you mentioned that, you mentioned like the almost nine-minute version to Tell You Something, the album version at the end of the album, and that's kind of a throwback to, you know, the forms of like straight ahead jazz, where
yes.
you know, cats played, you know, they took a, you know, a 4-minute solo, you know, and everybody solos in the band, and you know, the form is just much more stretched out, and so, you know, that is kind of that element with that song closing out the album. I think it's a great way to close out the album too.
Oh my God, yes, because the first time I heard it, I went, that is a jam, and it reminded me of when I saw the live CD that was in the early 60s. It was Miles Davis and John Coltrane,
uh-huh.
and at that particular time, people didn't leave the stage when somebody else was soloing. They were in
right.
the background watching or smoking a cigarette or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's the kind of vibe that it had. Man, I'm saying that word a lot this hour, but with you, it's all about the vibe, because you are casting a net here. Here's my spiritual imagery again. Here, you're casting that net to reel us in, and you've got the ammunition that you need to do that, because you have thought about everything, and then you also have the stuff you can't teach anybody.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. Definitely appreciate that.
That's hardcore right there. I'm
yeah.
finished now. I'm not going to say anything more about you.
Well, that was that's very profound. Very profound. I appreciate it. I'm flattered, and you know, I'm just, like I said, I'm just blessed. You know, God has just been good to me. I can't take too much credit, you know. So,
well,
I'm
as long as you
grateful.
Keep him first, you know, you're,
yes.
you're going to be okay.
Yeah, that's it. That's
you know
it
that.
Right there, you know.
Yep.
I want to tell everybody, too, you can go to www.samrucker.com. And
yep.
You know, listen to the album and see some videos. And if you haven't had a chance to purchase it yet, you can buy it there or any of your outlets like CD Baby or iTunes or Amazon, wherever you buy your music. And you know, it's doing well so far. And you know, I would love to tell everybody something, so you got to get it so I can tell you something.
It's one of those things. I love the title of the CD because, you know, when women get tough, it's always so funny. And I always want to say, let me tell you something.
And see, now you can't do that ever again without thinking about my CD now, right?
That's right. Oh, my God. Sam, it's been a blast. I am definitely going to play Footsteps in the Dark because that is an all-star cast right there with you.
Absolutely.
And it's one of those shining jewels on Tell You Something. And you're just going to experience blue skies and onward travels from here on out. It's going to be beautiful.
I receive it, and I believe it. Thank you so much, Trish.
Thank you, Sam. And I'm going to see you one of these days down the road. I'm going to go to samrucker.com and find out where you are.
There you have it. We'll be updating the schedule very shortly.
That's great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Trish. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sam Rucker, I knew it was going to be like this. This is from Tell You Something. You got to hear this. Footsteps in the Dark on Hyperjazz.
Thank you.
Oh, gracious. Oh, my gosh, and we timed it just right, too. We have time for like a minute's worth of outro music. Is that something else? Sam Rucker from Tell You Something, the Isley classic, Footsteps in the Dark, with Sam on alto sax, Bobby Lyle on keyboards, T.C. Oliver on drums, Mike Ely on bass, Bill White on guitar, Steve Croon on percussion, Allison Williams on vocals, produced by Norman Connors and Sam Rucker. Woo! I'm telling you, you keep the right company, you find yourself in a place that is so organic that all it goes is forward. Amazing! Oh my gosh, so great to have Sam with us, and it's just really amazing how the summer is progressing. A great artist like Sam with us today. Richard Elliott, because he's in the Summer Horns Tour, he's got to postpone his interview from tomorrow until next week. So check this out. On Tuesday, we might have Rick Braun and Richard Elliott on the same show. That'll be a treat, right? Then Winston Bird, next Thursday, right before the 4th of July, Reagan Whiteside is coming up. We've got, should I even say this? I'm not going to say it until it's confirmed. Absolutely. There's a couple of acts that you're going to want to know about. Thank you so much for all you do for Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thanks, Beach. Thanks to everybody in the chat room who's come along today, in and out. It's been really wonderful. I appreciate Sam and all the support so much. We'll see you next time on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.